Oh, hello. Good morning. It did. I had my microphone on. I'm sorry. Oh. I just turned it on, and Jim coughed.
I'm back from San Francisco with the downside of a cold.
Yeah, you brought a cold with you, Jim. It's okay. You are listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. I'm Jack, and across from me returning is Jim, not exactly feeling his usual 100%, but he's back in the studio. And
a partial percentage of Jim is a lot better than 0%.
It is. Yes.
There you go.
No, I thought you were going to say it's better than 100% of Carrie Logan, and I was going to take you to task for that. Oh, she was here last week.
I listened to you guys streamed from San Francisco, from Noe Valley, and you guys did a bang-up job.
Why, thank you.
Absolutely wonderful. And I want to thank Carrie. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to ask her if she's around to come back. I'm going to be gone a couple shows around Christmas time.
Fun. You were in San Francisco.
Yes, I did. And I was there with my sister and brother-in-law, the ones from Arlington, Virginia, who send us the weather forecast. But before I talk about a bit, I want to say hello to Hannah Combs from POAC, Ponderay Arts Council. And Hannah, good morning.
Good morning.
It's always good to see you. You're always, what do I want to say? You know, she's shining brightly at this ungodly hour.
Mm-hmm. She's very cheerful.
I mean, as if she never went to bed. You know, I mean, it's just she's been up all night and just sprinkling wonderful magic dust everywhere. And then she floats in here and... I'm back from San Francisco. Did some things that I had done before but hadn't done recently. I went through the botanical gardens in Golden Gate Park, and you see all sorts of unusual shrubs and bushes and trees from throughout the world. And then slipped over to the Japanese tea garden and had some green tea in a beautiful setting. And then slipped over to Chinatown for some dim sum. And that was one day, and then did, go ahead.
Okay, the Japanese Tea Garden.
That's in Golden Gate Park.
It is also in the park.
It's just right, it's near the DeYoung Museum, and you just, have you been to San Francisco, haven't you?
Yeah, Hannah? I went for Thanksgiving last year, and I went to the DeYoung Museum. It was lovely.
Oh, isn't that, you know what I love about the DeYoung Museum, before you even get into it, you see a crack in the sidewalk. Did you see that? There's a crack in the sidewalk, and you're, oh my God, you know, it must be, you know, and then you follow this crack all the way up, and it's an installation, you know, it's San Francisco earthquakes, and you go, but the Japanese Tea Garden is just a stone's throw from the DeYoung.
I peeked through the fence, but I didn't go in.
Yeah, it's a fun thing to do, and the beautiful shrubbery and the koi. The humongous goldfish that are just lazing around. So part of the joy of being in San Francisco is the multi-ethnic cultural diversity, which is one of the charms of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
You were there on Halloween.
Halloween, mm-hmm. I was down in the Castro. That's a high holy day down in the Castro for, that's where everybody comes from throughout San Francisco, and my favorite one was a jellyfish. A guy had a clear umbrella, and it was with these neon lights and then these filmy streamers coming down, and as he moved through the crowd, it looked like a jellyfish. That's
pretty cool.
It was way too cool. And then the next night, two nights later, we went to the Mission District for the Dia de los Muertos procession, and then you go to this park where people have set up altars. You know, if you've seen Coco, the movie, Pixar's movie Coco, have you seen that?
I haven't, but I think I saw the trailer.
I cry during that movie, and it's about spirits coming back on the Day of the Dead, All Souls Day in the Catholic Church, and they come back for once, and you relive them again, and it's just beautiful. And it's beautiful to walk through and see the altars with marigolds and spread around in lemons and other memorabilia of the past ones and the ones who've passed. Beautiful. So I had a good holiday outside of, I came down with a cold.
That's a bummer. We missed you here on Halloween. I
Did you have many people knocking on your door?
I did. I had said, I think I even said on the air that I was going to keep a tally. And I certainly did not keep a tally.
Oh, okay.
I did go through, I think, 7 bags of fun-size candy.
Cool.
So at 1 or 2 pieces, as the night wore on, I started saying, like, actually, you can only take one from this bowl at this point because we may run out if you don't. No, it was fun. We had a lot of action out there.
Good weather?
Very good weather. It was dry. It was not freezing cold. It was a nice night for Halloween. And Thursday, I believe that Friday was a school day off. So Thursday night was in at least some of the schools in the area. I don't know why, but it just happened to work out that it was the night after Halloween. So the kids were out in full force on what would usually be a school night, Thursday night. And
growing up, I went to a Catholic grade school, and going to a Catholic grade school, one never went to school on a holy day of obligation. And November 1st was All Saints Day, mm-hmm. a holy day of obligation. No matter what day of the week it fell on, you didn't go to school. But Halloween was always the night before. So if All Saints Day fell on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, you can stay out all night trick-or-treating. So,
mm-hmm.
and not have to go to school, but you did have to go to Mass.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think if I saw any... I mean, lots of costumes.
I was going to ask you, what were the popular costumes this year?
There wasn't any one that really stuck out to me as a popular costume. I mean, among the kids, there was kind of the usual assortment. There was a dinosaur that looked pretty good. Who the costume was elaborate enough that, like, I think he had a hard time seeing his way down the street and up the steps.
How about for you, Hannah?
I live out of town, so I don't get any trick-or-treaters. It's kind of a bummer.
That is a bummer.
Mm-hmm. Well, you need to then to move into town just for that one night. When we're in town, we invite out-of-town friends to come over and give out candy.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, it is. It is because we live over in the Mountain Meadows Division near, off of Lincoln, and we keep tabs, and I think our highest total one year was over 700.
Wow. Yeah, I don't think we got that high, but it was, it was a real good turnout. Very active.
Weather makes a difference.
It does.
And day of the week makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. And then what happened this weekend? Oh, I went. You know what I did this weekend? I went to the museum for Free First Saturday, and I got there at 2:15, and they closed at 2:00. So I went and I looked at the caboose.
So you put on your sad face.
I was very sad. They did not let me in, but I did. I did get to see the caboose, and the caboose is very cool. So that's you can actually take a look. They now have that open. It used to be just storage, but you can actually go in.
And was this a teaching moment for you?
It was.
What did you learn?
Well, I think I learned. I learned that I need to take the reins and not delegate so much to my party mates. You know, there were 3 of us going to the museum. It was my idea to go to the museum.
They dilly-dallied.
Well, let's stop for breakfast first,
and then we're gonna
go get a cup of coffee, then let's check out this place, and then suddenly
one thing led to another. Before mm-hmm. you knew it was after 2:00 and closed. And it's sort of like your plane departed, your train took off from the station, and sad sack Jack.
Yeah, and then I raked all day on Sunday, pretty much.
That's this time of year, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
And that's the story. And it looks like it's going to actually be another nice weekend for raining. Hey, have I done the weather yet? I don't think so.
There's an advisory out today.
There is.
Okay, talk about it.
Okay, here's the weather advisory. It is an air stagnation advisory.
Ooh, tell me more.
Here we go. This from the National Weather Service in Spokane, Washington. Issued yesterday morning at 11:40 a.m. and in effect until tomorrow at noon in the northern panhandle. That's the Coeur d'Alene area, the Idaho Palouse, Bonner County, the Upper Basin, the Spokane area, all around here, you know, a whole bunch of places. The air stagnation advisory means light winds, strong morning inversions, and poor conditions for pollution dispersion. Some brief improvement is possible through Wednesday before sunset. That's yesterday, when a period of relatively higher winds is forecast. Portions of central, east, central, north, Idaho until noon, and poor air quality is, I guess, the issue. It indicates that due to limited movement of air mass in the advisory area, pollution has the potential to increase to dangerous levels. If you have a respiratory illness, you should follow your physician's advice for dealing with high levels of air pollution during periods of stagnant air. And the state air quality agencies highly recommend no outdoor burning occur if possible, and that residential wood burning devices be limited as much as possible. This is in effect until Friday, but the good news is that it's actually for this time of year. It's going to be sunny, and it's going to be a high of 48, partly cloudy, and then patchy fog tonight with a low of 30 degrees. Patchy fog and then mostly sunny on Friday. Increasing clouds on Friday night. Chance of sprinkles on Saturday.
Sprinkles.
Yeah.
I think of a bakery item there. Don't.
Yes.
Sprinkles. I'll have mine with sprinkles. I'll have my weather forecast with a few sprinkles, please.
It is. And the high gets up to about 51 degrees on Saturday. Partly sunny on Sunday with a high of 44. And there is a slight chance of showers and patchy fog on Saturday night.
Yeah. Patchy. I love that phrase, pollution dispersion.
Mm-hmm.
Baby, I got some pollution dispersion going on outside.
You've got some in your throat.
No kidding. Hannah, talk to us. Hannah is the executive director, what's your title?
Are you still the arts administrator?
It is executive director now.
Okay. Well, welcome to the morning show. We're always happy to have you here.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
And we're going to talk about the upcoming POAC list of events. But let's give a backward glance to November 3rd and the Flamenco Pacifico. Tell us about that.
Yes, we were so happy to open our performing arts series on Sunday with a group called Flamenco Pacifico. We had it at the Heartwood Center. We only had 150 tickets to sell, but we wound up having a crowd of 175. So
no way.
Standing room only. It was very fun. I started worrying a little bit about the fire capacity, but I counted and it was all okay. So we had a really good crowd. The show was wonderful. The lights and sound were perfect. Everybody had a great time and we learned a lot about flamenco music and dance.
Share some of the things that you learned.
Ooh, okay. So flamenco, the thing that I really enjoyed learning, the group Flamenco Pacifico titled their most recent album Convivienza, which in Spanish refers to a period of time over 700 years long in which the Muslims, the Sephardic Jews, and the Christians living in Spain all lived there in peace and coexistence. And so convivienza means coexistence. And it was really fun to learn that history. And out of that peaceful time, that's where the flamenco music was first created as a community celebration of culture and thanks and just living life joyfully. So
how many performers in the group?
Yeah, we had six total. We had two guitar players, a bass player, a percussionist, and two dancers. One of the guitarists also sang. So it was quite the full sound with the tapping of the feet and the superb guitar skills. It was just a beautiful sound in the old historic Heartwood Center.
How many people were in this troupe? You know, the flamenco. What do you call it? A dance group? I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there were six total: four musicians and two dancers.
Okay.
And costumes.
Oh, they're fabulous.
Oh.
Although, I will say, my favorite costumes came out during the student show that we did the following day at Forest Bird Charter School. They had a fabulous red ensemble with lots of ruffles, and the other dancer wore a black and white polka dot dress with a gold lining that showed when she was twirling around. It was beautiful. So, but yeah, we took them over to Forest Bird Charter School, and they did an hour-long program with about 175 kids.
I bet you kids loved it.
They did, and it was very interactive. They showed them how to do the different hand gestures in the dance. They showed them how to, like, the special ways that they strum the guitars to get different sounds. So they let them kind of play with the movements of the flamenco tradition, and they also taught them about the different rhythms that they use to make different types of songs. And some make a more mournful sound, and some make a really joyful sound, and everything in between.
I love the sounds of the footwork.
Oh yeah,
you know, I mean, that adds such drama to the guitar work.
Yeah, and there are four different ways that they can tap their feet to get different sounds and different volumes out of the tapping and different pitches.
And isn't the old Catholic church, the Hartwood Center, a perfect venue? Because I find that place to be acoustically really, really well. I attended the Laramie Project there the week before that, and just simply for performing for the performers themselves, their voices carry.
Yeah, it's a very intimate space with great acoustics. And for this performance, it was ideal because they have a wooden floor in the Hartwood Center already.
Oh, that is right.
Yeah, so
that's right.
The sound of the footwork was just perfect in that space.
Well, excellent. Okay, that was November 3rd. You kicked off the season with, it sounds like, a resounding success.
It was. Yeah, we were so happy to be able to bring that group to the community.
So let's go right on down the list. We're here with Hannah Combs. She is the executive director of the Pendere Arts Council, and we're happy to have her with us. We've been talking about the event last weekend. What's on the agenda?
Well, I think most people are aware of this one. Next up, we have Eugene Ballet's Nutcracker. That will be here on Wednesday, December 18th. It's 1 week before Christmas, so it really is going to be the perfect holiday experience to bring your family out and see this classic ballet. I will let everyone know that tickets are selling very fast. We are already sold out at the POAC office. There are still tickets available. Let me repeat that. We're only sold out at the POAC office. There are still tickets at Eve's Leaves, at Winter Ridge, at Eichhart's, and on the Panada's website. So if you don't have your tickets yet, you can get them at one of those places, but I would advise getting them as soon as possible because we do sell out in advance every year for this show.
Even on a Wednesday.
I was going to say the program is on a Wednesday. Let me ask you something about the, I don't know that much about the Eugene Ballet. Is it associated with the University of Oregon? Oregon University?
It is not. The Eugene Ballet is its own company.
Okay.
But I imagine that a lot of their dancers come from the university.
Right, right.
Yeah, so they have a company of about 30 dancers, and this is only one of the shows that they do each year. They have their own season of about 4 or 5 shows that they present at the Holt Center in Eugene, Oregon, and then they do tour a couple of them, and the Nutcracker is always one of their touring productions.
Okay, the Nutcracker at the Panada on December 18th, a Wednesday, and do not, again I repeat, do not go to the POAC office. They will not have any tickets. But if they go to
Eve's Leaves, Winter Ridge, Eichhart's, or the Panada's website, there are still tickets available.
And you're imagining this will be a sellout.
Definitely.
Perfect. So that's mid-December. Hey, and think about it. This could be a Christmas gift for someone. You know, get a couple of tickets as a Christmas gift, a stocking stuffer.
We do have a lot of people who do that for their families. It's very
excellent.
Sweet.
Excellent. Okay, that gets us through 2019 heading into 2020. What's happening?
So the first show of 2020 is a show that we have done for the last, this will be our third year. It's called Northern Stars Rising, and it's a show that we produce here in town. It features local performers, and the idea is to give emerging artists, emerging musicians, the opportunity to perform on a professional stage. The show will be held at the Heartwood Center. As a part of that, we focus on professional development for the performers. So we'll do some pretty intensive training with our tech team to teach them how to be prepared for a tech rehearsal, how to set up their gear on stage. And we do have prizes associated with this event. This year, we're very excited. One of the prizes we're going to have is a professional photo shoot and a recording session so that these young musicians can start creating some of the materials to help them promote themselves as professional musicians. So we're very excited about this. I think it gets better every year as we learn how to help the participants pursue their dreams as musicians. So if you are a local musician and you are interested in auditioning, we'll be sending out information soon, but save the date. The auditions will be held on Wednesday, January 8th. And if you are not looking to rise as a young performing star and you would just like to hear some great local music in a beautiful setting, you're welcome to simply buy a ticket and attend the show. Again, that'll be on Friday, February 21st. It will be a part of the Winter Carnival, so there will be a lot of festivities happening in town, and that is called Northern Stars Rising. So if you want to know more about it, you can stop by our new office and say hi. I'd love to talk to you about that show, as well as our new gallery space and all of the other things we have going on.
And if one does not know where your new office space is located.
Yeah, we moved this spring into the old City Hall building on 2nd and Main. It is in the same building as the Music Conservatory, and we're very excited to be right in the heart of downtown. So come through the Main Street door, and we're the first door on the right.
You know what I like about that is that Hannah's office window is right there, and you can walk by, and I'm sure that she doesn't want to be bothered, but I like to tap on it and wave to her.
Oh, and I always enjoy when people wave.
Yeah, it's great. So this is Northern Stars Rising, February 21st. Auditions began on January the 8th.
Is there an age limit or an age range that you're looking for?
Yes, we are looking for younger performers, so we're kind of looking for that high school to around 25 year age range. That will be more clearly laid out in the auditions materials that we distribute soon. So,
okay, so we'll look for that on your website, I suppose.
Yes.
Right?
Which is?
artinsandpoint.org.
Perfect. Let's take a music break here before we continue on. We're here with Hannah Combs, POAC Executive Director, talking about the list of events or performances. We've already gone through 2019 and the first event in 2020. When's the last time you've heard a Madonna song, Jack?
It's been a while for me.
How about you, Hannah? Mm-hmm.
I can't even recall.
Oh my! Can you recall Madonna? On this date in 1995, November 7th, 1995, she released a compilation album called Something to Remember, which essentially was a bunch of ballads that had been released during her career. There were a few new items. But this song that we're going to play has an interesting little twist that ties it to Spokane, Washington. So we're going to play, this is a song off of an album that it was a compilation album released on this date in 1995. The song is Crazy for You, and then I'll come back and talk a little bit about its appearance in Spokane. That is Madonna, Crazy for You, a cut-off of an album that was released on this date in 1995, Something to Remember. Now, this was a song that came out about 10 years earlier and appeared in the soundtrack to a movie filmed in Spokane, Washington called Vision Quest that came out. It was about a high school wrestler and wanting to drop down a couple weight classes, and Matthew Modine was in it. And let me just read a little blurb on the production of it. Production took place in Spokane, Washington in the fall of 83. The film was shot at Rogers High School in northeast Spokane. Interior cafeteria scenes were filmed at Ferris High School on Spokane South Hill. Some of the locker room scenes were filmed in the boys' locker room of Shadle Park High School in northwest Spokane. Isn't that interesting that they had to, okay, we'll do the cafeteria scene here, locker room scene here, hallway scenes over here. But Madonna's scene, she plays, she sings in a bar. She doesn't have a major role in it. She's just part of the backdrop. Madonna's scene was filmed at the Bigfoot Tavern on North Division Street in Spokane. There you go.
Okay. Have you seen the movie?
No.
Me neither.
No, I have. Have you, Hannah?
I have not.
Okay, that makes three of us who haven't.
Okay.
Anybody out there in the listening audience? No, don't call in. Other scenes that were shot at the Onion Restaurant downtown and North Central High School gym.
Okay.
So that's the tie-in with Crazy for You, which was Madonna's in 1983, her second number one single. But it was on this date that it appeared, she wasn't known primarily for her ballads.
No.
So they put out a compilation of ballads. This Used to Be My Playground and all sorts of great songs like that.
Huh.
Were you ever a Madonna fan?
I wouldn't say I was a fan. I do have, Like a Virgin is the album.
Yes.
I got that on vinyl. It's pretty... You know, you got to have it, right?
Well, my response...
No collection is
complete. She was a spectacle. You know, not that I was crazy about her music, but I enjoyed watching her perform. She's quite the performer.
Mm-hmm.
And, in the 80s, going into the 90s,
sure,
who wasn't? And she's had some interesting songs in recent years. Her Ray of Light album, I like. The one where she's in cowboy outfit and Mr. DJ put a record on, I Want to Dance with My Baby. Yeah.
I know my Madonna.
Yeah. Pardon?
Now I want to see the movie. And I want to know if it's, like, is it just shot in Spokane and it could be anywhere? Or is it kind of, is that kind of an important part of the story that it's around Spokane?
I'm quite sure that it's probably anywhere USA, but you recognize the sites.
Mm-hmm. I also now want to go and see the Bigfoot Pub and Eatery, which
on
is
Division.
still there.
Still in existence. And you know who's still here? Hannah Combs.
Yes.
Hannah Combs impatiently listening to us babble on.
Mm-hmm.
We have two more events on the POAC calendar that we want. Well, I mean, of the performance series, but then we want to talk about an upcoming fundraiser. The show is yours on March 4th.
Yes, on March 4th, we are bringing back a group called Living Voices. They're based out of Seattle, and they do a really unique type of performance where they mix an actor on stage, acting as a historical compilation character, and then they also have a video that they produce that plays behind the actor, and that video has some historic documents, photos, if it happened recently enough for there to be photos, potentially video footage as well. And that video has voices embedded into it that speak back and forth to the actor on stage. So you hear the actor who's in costume speaking about themselves, and then you hear other characters coming in through the video and through the sound system. So it's a really interesting experience.
Yeah,
a really cool way to hear that historical story. And it's a lot more engaging than, you know, reading a history textbook.
I think previous years you had a woman up in Klondike.
We did.
And then you had a Black Revolutionary War character?
We did. And the first year was about a young woman in a Navajo boarding school.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I forgot about that. So this is the fourth year.
It is.
And do you have any idea what you make? Don't they have several characters and you choose one? Or
yes, they have about 12 programs total.
Okay.
Like you said, this is the fourth one we're doing. And this one is tied into a special anniversary we will be having in 2020, which is the centennial of women's right to vote. So we are presenting a story about a young suffragist who is living in D.C. and visiting her aunt, who is a suffragist, and she kind of takes her under her wing and tells her what the movement's about, and they go on to fight for their right to vote at the same time as her brother is fighting in World War One. So,
what I think the amendment for women's rights to vote, 1918, I think
maybe,
okay,
yeah, or 1920. Like, yeah. I don't know.
And yeah. Hannah says 1919.
Okay.
I think it's 1918. And where will this take place?
It will also be at the Heartwood Center.
Okay.
But one of my favorite things that we do with this show, we actually do this with all of our performances, but Living Voices is one of my favorites. POAC produces a... an education program called Ovations. And through the Ovations program, for every performer that we bring into town, we also take them to the schools and have them perform and do workshops with the students. So with Living Voices, it's really fun because we're able to take them to a whole bunch of different schools. And we take them straight into the classroom and they set up their video and they perform for a group of, you know, 60 kids at a time. But we're able to do 5 or 6 of those presentations. So it's really great to hear how the kids experience that story and to hear all of the questions that they have about it at the end. They're always really engaged and pick up on all the fine details of the story and the whys and the who did what. So it's really great to bring history to them in a way that's really engaging and fun.
And the date is March 4th, and the location doesn't really matter,
is,
I guess.
It's the Heartwood Center.
And yeah.
Jack was one who was correct. If only we had a handheld device that would tell us what it is. Oh my gosh, I do. Mm-hmm. And it was 1920.
Okay. I'm glad, because I've been telling everyone that was the centennial.
Well, oh, duh.
Yeah, see?
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. I'm sharp this morning.
Well, I figured I knew it wasn't during World War One, right? And so the amendment was after that, and it was.
And it's
the
same year that Prohibition begins.
In
1920.
Mm-hmm. Exciting times. We're coming up on the centennial of some exciting times, I guess you would say.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. March 4th, Living Voices, Hear My Voice.
We're like 2 months away from the beginning of the 20s. What? Okay, continuing on. We'll just set that aside. Just something to think about. That's
a conversation ender. You know, I haven't even thought about Thanksgiving yet or the
you got to get ready for a big roaring decade coming your way right now.
The 20s.
Mm-hmm. They're about to begin. Okay.
April 18th. What's going to happen there, Hannah?
We, for the last few years at least, have ended our season with a classic that we've been bringing to town for, oh goodness, probably at least 30 years, which is Missoula Children's Theater. And this is such a fantastic program. It was originated in Missoula, and it's still based there, but they travel to, I think, hundreds of different countries around the world. They impact over 60,000 kids every year. And how it works is there are two performers and teachers who come to our community, and they have scripts and costumes and sets to put on a whole musical in 1 week. They pack all of it into their little truck, and they drive over to Sandpoint, and then we have auditions, and there are about 60 to 70 kids who are able to get into the show. And then they spend the next several days practicing their parts, learning dances, learning the songs. And on Saturday at the end of the week, they put on a production for the community. So this year we're doing Cinderella, which is one of their oldest stories. And
That's a win. That's a winner of a choice.
Oh, yeah. It's a classic for sure. So they will be arriving here on Monday, April 13th for the auditions. And by April 18th, 5 days later, we'll put on two full productions at the Panada. Both will be sort of matinees. I think we're doing a 1 o'clock and a 4 o'clock performance this year.
And if one wants information on any one of these programs, where does one go to?
Absolutely. You can find all of the information at our website, which is artinsandpoint.org. You can also stop by our new office and say hello, and myself or Jennifer can help you find whatever you need. And that is at 110 Main Street, in the same building as the Music Conservatory. And you can also give us a call at 208-263-6139.
And want to remind everyone, if you are interested in attending the Nutcracker on December the 18th, do not go to the Panada office, but you can also go to a bunch of other local establishments to pick up tickets, because they are flying out the door, and they flew out the door from the Panada office.
From the POAC office.
From the POAC. Did I say Panada? I meant POAC.
That's all right. You can still get tickets at Eve's Leaves, at Winter Ridge, at Eichhardt's, and on the Panada's website.
Excellent. And coming up next Wednesday, what's happening?
Ooh, thank you for asking. Next Wednesday, November 13th, POAC is having a fundraiser at Idaho Poor Authority. So thank you to IPA for hosting us. And we are going to be doing a small fundraiser to raise some funds for a very exciting project that's happening in our new building. So as most of you know, because I believe they did an interview here a few weeks ago, the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint bought the building that both their offices and our offices are in. And it's been very exciting to work with them and look at the building as a whole and try to figure out how that entire space is going to be used in the coming years. And they have some really great plans for how to maximize our abilities to provide education and to provide community programs in that building. POAC is especially excited about one space upstairs. It was an old kitchen, and we're kind of in the process of remodeling it into a classroom space. All of the details on how we're going to use the space are still kind of in the works as we figure it out. But I do want to thank Kachava volunteers for coming over and demolitioning. That's not a word. For doing a demolition.
They use that on HGTV.
Yeah, they do.
What are you doing? We're demolishing.
Yeah. Demolishing.
For doing a demolition on that space for us. They came over a few weeks ago. It was very fun. I think they had a good time tearing cabinets apart. So that was the first step. And the next step is starting to get some equipment into that space so that we can use it for community art classes. We're trying to raise $1,000 to buy some tables, to buy some chairs, to buy, we'd love to get a utility sink at some point. So very mundane and useful tools, but things that will make it possible for us to host classes taught by local artists, classes for all ages. So
next Wednesday, that'll be the November 13th. And we want to thank Vicki and John over at Idaho Poor Authority. They support an incredible number of local 501c3s, as well as other organizations that are doing good in the community.
Yeah.
And so this is 5 to 8, I imagine.
It is. And Fremont Brewing will be the hosted or the featured brewery. Mm-hmm. Well, there will be special deals on some of their their beers, and some of those profits will go to Poac. And there will also be some great raffle items that we've collected and that Fremont Brewing will be bringing with them.
Hannah, it's always good to have you with us.
It's always so fun to be here. Thank you so much.
So again, artandsandpoint.org, all information about these different events. Again, a reminder, November 13th, next Wednesday, 5 to 8 at IPA on Cedar Street, a fundraiser for Idaho, for POAC, for an upstairs classroom. We're going to take a music break now. On this date in 1979, a movie starring Bette Midler premiered in Los Angeles, and here's the title cut from that film. That was Bette Midler singing a song from a film that premiered in L.A. on this date in 1979, The Rose. And it sort of ties into an event this weekend here in Sandpoint. The Rose was very loosely, and I use the word loosely, on the life of Janis Joplin. Mm-hmm. And this weekend at the Panda Theater, the 8th and the 10th, they're going to be showing a film version of the play, A Night with Janis Joplin, that was on Broadway. So that was on the 8th and the 10th. It will be a film of the play, A Night with Janis Joplin. And you can get the times from panada.org.
Well, okay. What is the play? I mean, who do you know who's in it?
Different performers. Uh-huh. And essentially, I don't know that much about the play, but a lot of her music. Mm-hmm. And so that's at the Panada.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
You can
never get too much of Janis Joplin. That's my notion. But and a new biography came out on her. I just read in my latest issue of Rolling Stone.
Really?
A new biography on Janis Joplin. So,
well,
using a lot of excerpts from her interviews and letters back home.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. Let's do some events. I'll begin with tonight, Sandpoint High School Grad Night 2020 Sip and Shop. At the Pondere Winery at 301 Cedar Street, they host a sip and shop from 4 to 8 p.m. to benefit the Sandpoint High School Class of 2020 Grad Night, which is held in June. The winery will donate 10% of all the proceeds earned during the sip and shop event to the senior high school graduating party. Parents and community, come on out and enjoy a relaxing glass of wine and a bite to eat from the fall menu and support.
Mm-hmm.
I think I want to say support.
Yes.
And support our soon-to-be graduates. That's, again, Sip and Shop tonight, 4 to 8 at the Pondere Winery.
If you're more of a Kootenai person, you can go to the Kootenai Elementary Pondere fundraiser, or PTA fundraiser, see there, but that's in Pondere, at the Skoll Tap Room at 476-930 Highway 95 in Pondere. Skoll Tap Room, the fundraiser is from 4:30 p.m. until 8 p.m., light snacks provided, and a 50-50 raffle. Which means what?
50-50 means that you sell raffle tickets, mm-hmm. and whoever wins it wins. Let's say if the raffle ticket collects $100, $50 goes towards the winner of the raffle, $50 goes towards the Kootenai Elementary PTA fundraiser.
Okay.
But usually what most people do, winners do, because they're magnanimous, mm-hmm. they give it all.
Yeah.
Unless the 50-50 is for like $20,000.
Sure. Yeah, I would keep that probably.
I'd keep the 10.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So there you go. And now we've learned what a 50-50 raffle is.
And tonight is open mic night at E&P's Bar and Grill at 222 First Avenue. That's with KC Carter from 9 till midnight. No cover.
Hmm. I don't play any instruments. But I wonder if they...
I think they want people there who appreciate just people mm-hmm. getting up in front of an open mic and mm-hmm. working their magic.
I wonder if I could, yeah, I'll just go down. We'll just see what's going on. No, I don't know. Okay, that's from 9 to midnight. The Sandpoint Nordic Club season kickoff is tonight at the Heartwood Center, 615 Oak Street from 5 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Kick off the ski season. Learn about the club's exciting plans and updates for the new recreation center and new ski trails at the Pine Street Woods, as well as new Lakeshore Drive trails. Local businesses displaying their Nordic equipment, plus information about the Youth League, waxing demonstrations, raffle drawings, and a silent auction. Food and beverages available for purchase, free and open to the public. Otherwise, sandpointnordic.com for information about that. I did go up to the Pine Street Woods 2 weekends ago, I think, and very cool.
Oh, I took a hike there about 2 to 3 weeks ago, and
yeah.
Beautiful. Only I took up a Gerda trail that leads you into Kinnick-Sue. I don't know how the building of the Nordic Center is going on. Is it taking shape?
It looks like a building right now. It's got the house wrap up, but it's not finished, but it's coming together.
That isn't, if you just want to go out and enjoy a lovely afternoon walk or morning walk, that's a beautiful area. On Friday, November the 8th, the Hope Harvest Dinner and Christmas Giving Food Drive, the memorial at the Memorial Community Center, 415 Wellington Place in Hope. They're going to be hosting their annual Harvest Dinner and Christmas Giving Food Drive. Happy hour begins at 5 with a holiday dinner served at 6. There's going to be bucket raffles, beer and wine, great food, and lots of fun. This event kicks off MCC's Christmas Giving Food Drive. Everyone is welcome to bring non-perishable food items, which will be distributed to local families on Christmas Giving Saturday, that is December 21st. If you want more information and you need a reservation, call 208-264-5481 for the Hope Harvest Dinner and Christmas Giving Food Drive.
Live music.
It's everywhere. Everywhere. It's a Friday night.
It is. Live music at the Beer Hall with the Other White Meat. That's McDuff's Beer Hall on Cedar Street. There is live music at the Idaho Poor Authority with the Locals. There is live music at the Winery with the Ron Kipper Duo. Ron Kipper? Kipper?
Kiper?
Kiper? Kiper? Okay. Ron Kiper, sure. That's just the Ron Kiper Duo from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. There's a ukulele jam at Fiddlin' Reds at 111 Church Street. Not usually a venue that we mention, but Fiddlin' Reds is...
Right.
Yeah, if you know where that is, it's right down there, right downtown on Church Street. And it looks like he's got a spare ukulele or two if you don't have one. And... Fear not, we'll figure them out.
Isn't it across from Coachava?
Yeah, kind of in that.
Yeah, kind of like in
Street.
Church and Second.
Yes, in that, right in there, and it looks like, I don't know. It seems like it's going to be kind of fun. I would like to go and just take a look. I don't know anything about how to play the ukulele, but you can check it out or call 541-890-0595 for more information. That is on Friday the 8th, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. And also also tomorrow night, a contra dance. Sandpoint Parks and Recreation partners with Emily Faulkner and Lost Horse Press for a contra dance from 7 to 10:30 at the Sandpoint Community Hall on First Avenue. Contra dancing is community dancing for all ages in the New England tradition, featuring live music with local and regional bands and lively callers. Contras, circles, and occasionally squares or long ways set are taught, called, and danced in a friendly atmosphere. Beginners and singles are welcome. So that's tonight. Tomorrow night. Contra dancing 7 to 10:30 on Friday night.
Let's see. Harold's IGA is playing at the 219 on Friday night from 9 p.m. to midnight. It's a multi-instrumental trio. The holiday market is coming up on Saturday. The Sandpoint Farmers Market hosts their annual holiday market in the Bonner Mall from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. The Little Black Dress fundraiser we talked about last week when you were absent, Jim.
But I was listening.
The Little Black Dress fundraising event is out at the Pondere Event Center kind of at 401 Bonner Mall Way, kind of across the, well, across the way from the Bonner Mall. Proceeds benefit Bonner Homeless Transitions, which helps provide transitional housing and program management services to homeless families and victims of domestic violence in Bonner County. It goes to a very good cause. You can call Carol at 208-946-6646 for more information or get tickets at the door. At the, let's see, Warren Miller's Timeless is coming out on
Saturday at the Panada.
It's beginning to, you know, I was at the Idaho Poor Authority last night and I had a Jubile Ale, the Christmas seasonal beer.
It's upon us.
It's getting to be that
time. I saw last night on the news, a big sale event that beats Black Friday, the Friday after Thanksgiving. They were advertising for it, get your stuff early. I don't want to think about it. Okay. What we do need to think about is Bird Note.
Yep, Bird Note coming up next right here on 88.5 KRFY, Ponderé.
Jack, and always good to be with you and glad to be back.
Yeah, glad to have you here.
And really quickly, for a moment, I did not say my sister, whom I was in San Francisco with, she says, good morning from Arlington, Virginia, 51 now in D.C. area, high of 61 expected with showers intermittently. That's a word we don't use in our weather forecast that much.
No, we use patchy out here.
Patchy. Mm-hmm. Patchy, chance of, but this is intermittently.
Intermittent showers in the D.C. area.
Yes.
My mother is right now in Washington, D.C., possibly listening, I don't know, and it's her birthday. Happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday to you, Jack.
So that will be useful information for her to know what to wear and
absolutely, but she's not going to have sprinkles.
No, no sprinkles. That's for us. All right. Yeah. Stay tuned for Bird Note, Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long here on 88.5 KRFY.